This day for the opportunity to be in your midst, to be able to fellowship with these brethren. It's always wonderful when we can gather together with the Lord's people to be strengthened in service. And that's what we are when we gather together in worship, is that we are strengthened together in the Word of God. Ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you a little while. Pray that we not bring forth anything that might bring confusion or take away from what you've already heard. And ask that you pray for the dear elder that is to follow. Existing with a brother the other day caused my thoughts to turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. As I have visited with him several times, I am very well aware of his philosophy that repentance is a requirement for salvation, and that every sin must be repented of, as Brother Horner was mentioning about how oft times we have sins we're not aware of, sins that we commit that we've forgotten about. If our verbal acknowledgement is a requirement for salvation, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Many times we don't want to even acknowledge the sins that we have, let alone confess them. You might ask, if I tried to straighten the young man out, well, I tried one time. This was some time back. And after I was finished digging myself into a hole, it finally dawned on me that I had tried to go before I was sent. That's something else that we have a tendency to do when the Lord blesses us to have a knowledge of the truth. You know, it's wonderful to be able to get together like this and we can share the truth with one another and we can rejoice in the truth. I think of I believe it was Elder Bradley, a tape that I have of one of his early sermons as he was telling about his early experiences in the church, how he had gone to a meeting and he slipped in the back and he'd heard the minister get up and declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, it touched his heart. And he said, and afterwards, those people got up and hugged his neck. He just couldn't imagine that. That there are the people that can rejoice in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful it is to be a part of those people. The Apostle Paul said in the 10th chapter of Romans, he says, My heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel, for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. This is the experience that I have with the young man I was relating to. You can tell by being around him that he has a zeal of God, a sincere desire to serve God. But his zeal is not according to knowledge. For as the Apostle Paul goes on here, it applies in the same instances, for they are ignorant of the God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now it's awful easy for men to turn this into an act of works. Believing is a requirement. But we're among the people this day that realize that if we have a belief, it is because of the work of God. Our thoughts turn toward the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and how that the world does not relate Christ as a necessity to salvation, maybe a handy part of salvation, a stepping stone, a tool, but not an essence. And if the Lord would permit us maybe just a little bit of ability to declare his necessity this afternoon, maybe he could cause us, I hope and trust, to be blessed in seeing the richness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to realize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no blessings from God whatsoever. We have no relationship with God. We have no connection with God. We have no communion with God, saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant of God, the covenant that God made before the foundation of the world was laid, in that he chose a people to himself, this covenant is based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord Jesus Christ does not fulfill his portion of the covenant, he being our surety, then the covenant is no good. We are left out, no blessings, no fellowship, no relationship. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a convenience to us. He is not just a good example. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And just as they do in our day, they declare him to be a good teacher, a wonderful example. And these are all true. There's no argument with that. Some calling him a prophet. How many of God's children relate to the Lord Jesus Christ as just another prophet? Now, if we think of God's children only being those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call themselves Christians, we have left out a vast number of children of God. There are many of God's little children that he is no more than just another prophet, another teacher, another good example. But the Apostle Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ." Thou art the Christ. Now, the term Christ is also the same term used in the Old Testament, if I understand correctly, as Messiah, which is the anointed one, that one which is set apart for a specific purpose. And who is it set apart by? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Teaching us there that his relationship with God our Father, and there's another term that we take far, far too lightly, in that we are able to refer to God as our Father. That's one that we use very frequently and lightly. but that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one set apart by God the Father for a specific purpose. This purpose was revealed. It was revealed to Joseph in the first chapter of Matthew when he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Not come to offer, not come to make it possible. We must remember that this work, this plan of salvation was done prior to in any humans being around. Man had not been created yet. I think of those sometimes as that to tell you that all you have to do is just come to God and acknowledge your sins and the errors of your ways, and he will take you into the household of faith, and he will give you spiritual life. Be similar somewhat to the Lord standing back when he gathered the clay together on the sixth day of creation and telling that lump of clay that if it would get up and ask for life, that he would give him life. That all Adam had to do was somehow get up off that pile and ask God for life. It's a very similar correlation to a dead alien sinner coming to God and asking for life. But just as it was a requirement for God to breathe into that clay the breath of life, and Adam received his natural life in that manner, so is it a requirement for the Spirit of God to breathe the breath of spiritual life into every little child. Every little child of God. Jesus talks about the Spirit over here in the 16th chapter of John. As he is talking with his disciples about a time when he is to go away, at this time he is relating to them the things that must come to pass. Their understanding appears to be vague from the reading of the Scriptures, and naturally it would be. Sometimes we're very hard of understanding. But Jesus told them at this time, he was trying to explain the necessity of his going away. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Now he is relating to them the pending time when he is to go to the cross to give his life for our sins, to take upon himself our sins, and that God is to punish sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his body, that we are represented in him when he died upon the cross. And he says, "It is expedient for you that I go away." And the next statement he makes, he says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." That has quite an impact when I realize the statement that he had made. Again, we're looking at the necessity of Christ. The Comforter will not come, showing forth the necessity of the shed blood of Christ, showing forth the necessity of the death of Christ on the cross, showing forth the necessity of Jesus Christ. The Comforter will not come unto you. He says, "But if I depart, I will send him unto you." A wonderful blessing that we have in the relationship the Spirit of God comes to each one of His little children because of the blood of Christ. Now, some people could get in an argument trying to pick straws here. I'm not talking about those in this congregation, I trust. The world would say, well, then all those before Jesus died on the cross, they've got to be lost. Well, I think it was made evident, I don't remember which one of the brethren made it evident this morning, that God is able to see these things accomplished before they're accomplished. God has saved His children prior to the Lord Jesus Christ in the same covenant that you and I are saved with. They before Christ being saved in the work to be done, and we being saved by the work finished and accomplished. The necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself declaring on the cross the finished work. And He said, "It is finished." Satisfaction attained by the blood of the cross. The writer in the Hebrew letter leaves us talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the 11th chapter, 10th chapter of the book of Hebrew, saying that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, set down at the right hand of God. The importance of Christ, the only one that this statement could ever be made about. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, set down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How can God's little children, and it's a sad thing for us to say, I say us as in the family of God, that we can be saved today, and if we are not conscious and repentant of our sins, that we can lose our salvation? How can we take away from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we bring shame upon the precious blood that was shed for sins by making such unruly statements, implying that basically what it implies is that our salvation is up to ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ made it possible, but the work is up to us. Takes away from the glory of Christ. Takes away from the glory of God and the precious work of salvation, the plan of salvation that He laid out for us. Takes away from all that He has done just to elevate the flesh for a little while. Paul said, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." Many of God's little children have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. It's a precious gift that we have been blessed with to be able to see the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a precious gift that God has given to us for our enjoyment. Jesus says that your joy might be full. Seeing that the righteousness that we have is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's a couple of songs that talk about those whose garments are washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a precious acknowledgement for us to see the work of Christ, to know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's not the believing that makes it true. It's not the believing that makes him the end of righteousness. We could maybe clarify that a little bit. We can put it in a legalistic sense. Believing does not make sense. He is he is our righteousness. He is our salvation legally, whether we believe it or not. But it is a joy and a salvation in our hearts when we are blessed by the grace of God to see. And we are blessed to see. May we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. I thank you for your kind, generous attention, and ask that you pray now for this elder as he comes before us.